Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
I wanted to ask some questions of Pastor Becky, because she is...
Transition a little bit. Major transition.
Get serious.
I don't know how to do this now after this conversation.
Well, I know. She is, in my opinion, she's my source to go to really understand kind of how we got here, how Atonement got to where it is. You know, Becky's been serving this congregation for a while.
25 years on March 12th.
Wow. Yeah. And has been in the transition of Atonement going from being part of, at the time, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to our current association that we call Lutheran Congregation.
Wait, is that what that stands for?
Yes.
Okay.
Dana was wondering about
Dana
the acronyms.
Already learned something.
ELCA stands for...
I don't know what any of the letters mean.
ELCA stands for Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is how they pronounce it. And LCMC stands for Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ.
That part.
So,
sure, Becky.
So with that being said, I mean, can you give us a bit of the backstory of LCMC and how you got involved with LCMC?
No.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
so thanks,
Let's
guys.
Wrap it up.
Well,
it's been another splendiferous episode.
LCMC came about in like 2000.
Okay.
Or 2001, right around that time.
Okay.
I was turn of the century.
Yeah, turn of the century. Isn't that something?
Which
yeah.
should not be 25 years ago.
I know, isn't that crazy?
You turned 30 this year.
I don't like to think about that.
And it came from certain congregations, certain pastors, certain members of congregations who were concerned about the direction of the larger church we were in, and feeling that it was doing things that weren't necessarily following Scripture any longer, and making us add things to what we do that would mean we need more than Christ.
Mm. I was reading Article 7. I was getting ready. I'm working actually on the message for Sunday, and it just so happened.
Article 7 of what, DJ?
Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession makes a statement about what is the church. And it just got me thinking about, like, well, yeah, this is what LCMC was all about.
It was.
Because at the time in the ELCA, there was a push to
go into full communion with other denominations. Full communion meaning that you would share pastors across, you know, and that you would, mostly share pastors is what that meant, and
right.
work together. And we were coming, there was one plan that was defeated, and then another plan came to go into full communion with the Episcopal Church in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Episcopals. Love them. They're just fine people. Mm-hmm. People who love the Lord. But they had a rule that we would have to take on their structure of how they visualize the church and ordain ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Historic Episcopate, meaning that pastors would need to be ordained by bishops who would lay their hands on us, and that the Historic Episcopate says that there has been this continuous laying out of hands since the time of Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth is it's been broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't a continuous thing. But in order to be a pastor, you had to have the hands of someone laid on you at ordination who was within the historic line of the laying out of hands. And we said, why?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah,
it makes no sense because we've never done that. Mm-hmm. It isn't necessary. You're telling us we need more mm-hmm. in order to be the church. Mm-hmm. We need more than practicing, preaching the gospel, mm-hmm. and sharing the sacraments of Holy Communion and mm-hmm. baptism. And,
well,
you know,
it almost discounts the people who had been previously leading
Hello?
Your churches.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was me.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. And so there were churches who were, there was first a group called The Word Alone that tried to work within the ELCA to keep things from happening. It didn't work. It was passed, and then some people were still living within the ELCA, which we did for a short time, and then Word Alone created another group for those who just felt like they couldn't stay in the ELCA, mm. because they felt like there was more coming that would take them away from Scripture. And so I hope I'm not offending anyone out there who's an ELCA person, but this is well known. And I love you, whoever you are, if you're listening. But this was my view and the view of people I was with at the time. And so Lutheran Congregations and Mission for Christ was created as not a new denomination, but as an association of churches that could come away from the ELCA. At the time, we kind of called it a lifeboat. Mm-hmm. It's not that anymore. It's been around for 25 years. And I think it was 2003 or 2004, finally, Atonement made the whole break away from. In that time, our current pastor at the time, Pastor Dale Wolfe, he was on the original board of, he was on the board of Word Alone, and then he was on the original board of Lutheran Congregations and Mission for Christ. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years later, I went on the board, on the national board. I did it for 6 years. And that was a time when, I think I went on in 2008. And in 2009, the ELCA made another commitment that set the whole place on fire that had to do with who would be ordained. And I don't think I mentioned the reason.
Yeah. That was the big move.
That was the big move of people. And we went from being, you know, when we joined, there were like 38 congregations. Mm-hmm. And then by the time this happened, there were probably 130. Mm. And by the time I was done with my term of 6 years on the board, we were around 700 congregations because so many people left in 2009.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I was the chair of the board and vice chair of the board for a lot of that time. That was a trying time to be doing that, mm-hmm. but it was a necessary place. So what had happened was we who had been in it were now being congregations in Mission for Christ. And in 2009 and 10, 11, and 12, we had all these people coming in who weren't necessarily, they weren't out yet. They came in as angry Lutherans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we were back in this vortex of just being sucked back into where we had been.
Mm-hmm. You'd already moved on.
You were doing your own thing. And then we had to go back. I spent 2 years going out almost every Sunday to congregations in North Dakota, northwestern Minnesota, northern South Dakota, overnight talking to congregations about how they could join congregations in Mission for Christ, and what I did it weekly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Most of them are now members of LCMC. And we have remained true, I believe, to what we started with. You know, we are grounded in the Scriptures. That's the main thing. And I hope that people, when they come here, they see that when we preach only from the Word of God. We don't give our opinions. We don't give what we think, what science thinks, what culture thinks, you know, what the current trend is somewhere. We talk about the Word of God. And that's the main thing we want to do. So there, how is that? Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
We've grown. Mm-hmm. And now LCMC is over 1,000 congregations. We have people that have found us on the internet, people that knew someone. So we have congregations in Russia, in Africa, in all over Eastern
India and
Vietnam and Cambodia and Thailand and Laos and all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And everywhere.
In Central America.
Yeah. It's an international body.
And, you know, and we didn't call ourselves an American anything. It was just Lutheran congregations, and it turned out it's good we didn't call ourselves the American Lutheran Church and Mission for Christ or anything, because we're all over the world, and it's very fun. I've met wonderful people, and it's been a good place to land, huh, DJ?
For sure, yeah. For sure.
Atonement was one of the first.
Yep.
And we've kind of been, we've had, I think, four different people from our congregation be on the National International Board. But we like to be here for people. While we got a question today from someone, my family's congregation is unhappy. They'd like to come into LCMC and leave another church body. And can you help them to know how to start? And so it's still happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But one or two at a time.
Yeah.
rather than the big surge of 2009, 2010.
You know, I was naming the things we are. We're accountable to one another. We don't have a big national church office. We don't have lots of people in a large office building telling us what to do. Mm-hmm. It's congregationally based. Mm-hmm. And we have someone who's a coordinator. We're hiring someone right now called a coordinator. And that's the lead person, and kind of directs the staff that we have, but also the person who goes out and is the face of LCMC around the world and in the U.S. especially, and goes out into congregations and does that. And then we have an administrator who has been with us from the beginning, Sharon, mm-hmm. and we have an office person, and we have a communications person, and we have a person who is in charge of ministry, helping pastors and ordination and seminary. And we have a person who's in charge of organizing what we call districts. That's it. That's our whole hired staff.
For the association.
For the association. Yeah. And we have no main office.
Right.
Everybody works out of their home. We have an address in Michigan we use from one of the first churches that's in Canton, Michigan, that we use as our church address. But I don't think we're office there anymore even. Mm-hmm. Everybody works out of their home. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
It's
sounds glorious.
It's very much.
You want to work from home?
Yes.
You don't like me across the hall from you?
I know myself enough to know that I need to have an office.
Yeah.
I would love to work from my couch, but I know that's not a great choice.
Dana would never leave her house if she worked from home.
Yeah.
It would be counterproductive.
But anyway, that's LCMC.
But it sounds great.
That's LCMC, and I'm proud to be a part of it and proud to be part of kind of the founding of it.
Yeah.
Now I go and I look who the board is and did that the other day and I thought, I don't know these people.
Who are these kids?
Who are these people? They're so young. Yeah. So, but it's really cool to have been at the groundwork of it. We had two national gatherings here at our church mm-hmm. at the beginnings when we could hold them. The one was in 2009, and we were expecting about 400 people, and we had almost 900 people show up.
Cool.
Yeah,
there was a lot of people.
We used the sanctuary as the lunchroom.
Jeez.
And we had to start ordering more food. Lisa was in charge of organizing it.
How'd that go?
I imagine Lisa running out of food was
on this part, LCMC, the people, office people, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
But as far as organizing what happened here
at
and getting
the church,
things moving in and out, it was real fun. People loved, we have a gentleman in our congregation who is, worked with one of the beer companies, and he was a salesperson. So we'd always have his refrigerated trailer out here in the back to hold the food. And people says, First Church or Lutheran Church gathering where we had a beer wagon in the back.
It's very German, very Lutheran German.
Yeah, some Norwegians use it too. And then the first year, you guys know David Zeske, who's in our church. Mm-hmm. He's a meat guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had a wild game feast
for
400 people.
Jeez.
And you name it, and we had the meat. And they talked about that for years. I mean, bison, we had that. And deer and elk and rattlesnake and squirrel and rabbit and bear. And I mean,
anything out in the woods.
Yeah. We had, and fish, of course.
Kinds of
fish.
Of course.
It was fabulous. But people talked about that for a long time.
Oh, I bet.
So that's how a lot of people know about Atonement, because we were very active in the beginning.
Yeah.
And now everybody's doing it. So it's very cool. Around. I was just going through all the churches, going through pastor names the other day, and it's amazing at the size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to give a message on Sunday about unity. And it got me thinking about, it just so happened that I ended up reading Article 7, and in Article 7 of the Augsburg Confession, which is really kind of the source that LCMC and Word Alone beforehand was able to say, you know, ELCA, what are you, you're moving away from the historic Lutheran understanding of things. And I just want to explain for a second why that position is taken. Nothing against ELCA or where they're at, but why LCMC became what it is. And I noticed a couple of things. In Augsburg 7, it says, for there to be true unity in the church, what is necessary is that the gospel is preached accordingly.
Yep.
And that the sacraments are administered according to the Word of God. Both things. And outside of that, it says it is not necessary for rituals or requirements made by humans to be the same everywhere. And what was going on is not just like, if you want to have bishops, that's fine. But when it became an imposition that we cannot have unity without it, mm-hmm. that's where it becomes an issue for resistance because of Article 7.
A really hard thing for me was that people said, well, you don't have to believe it, just do it.
Right.
And we've talked about this. What you do, you begin to believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or what you believe, you will do too, right? Yeah, yeah, both ways.
Yeah. And so, but it is what you, well.
What you do, you will believe. You're right.
Lex around,
Lex credendi.
Yeah. It's also like what Mark was talking about yesterday about neoplasticity. Can we bring that into it?
Yes, talk about neoplasticity.
Am I going to have like definitions in this episode's description? Of like,
it's that your brain begins to be trained. You know, it'll if you have an injury or something and you're missing something, your brain will screw around it and start to do something else. If you talk enough about something and start talking about it and believing it, suddenly you will mm-hmm. believe it's true.
I feel like this was a whole, ironically and weirdly, this was a whole conversation around when, like, side bangs and, like, the Justin Bieber haircut was a thing in the early 2000s because it would cover, like, one of your eyes. Mm-hmm. So neuroplasticity would kick in and you would basically like become essentially blind in one eye.
You didn't watch that eye. Yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't look out of it.
So if you're always doing this and people are coming into the church doing mm-hmm. this, they're going to think that's the way it's always been. Well, yeah. This is necessary. We have to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's the part.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you start the kind of tradition of when somebody comes in and asks, why do we do this? Well, that's just the way we've always done it rather than being able to say we do it because.
Yeah. And so, you know, you don't have to, you can just do it. Don't believe mm-hmm. it. You can't go there.
Yeah. Well, and even the naming of the organization was intentional because of the naming of the wider church as the church. Notice that LCMC is not a church. It's an association of churches.
Congregations.
And the reason to even use that language is because it's a very Lutheran concept that the church is beyond walls and beyond human institutions. It goes right back to that Article 7 thing. So if you start speaking of your group as the church, it's basically drawing a line in the sand that we are all one church in this institution, and if you're not part of this, then you're not part of the church.
I was at the beginning, and I hated it when people... I hate it now. I shouldn't hate, but I do. What do they call LCMC? The LCMC.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, no, we're not the... We are just...
It's Lutheran congregations in Mission for Christ, with the understanding that there's the one true church is the body of Christ that goes beyond institutions. Congregations are where the church is planted locally as a local expression. And so even the naming of that is very important in understanding what does Article 7 actually say. And in talking about the Augsburg Confession is basically the Declaration of Independence of the Lutheran movement within the Christian church, within the Church Catholic on Earth. And so the things that are in the Augsburg Confession, the articles, are doctrine or teaching of what the Bible is saying. And so when a church that says it's Lutheran begins to move away from those without a really good reason, it can cause schism. It can cause people to be like, I don't know if I can continue in this church body if it's changing these things. Because when is it going to stop? It's going to keep changing. Oop. So even the naming of it is an important thing to understand what brings unity and what doesn't.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nicely said, DJ.
Thank you. I've been reading it all day today.
So who is Nicolas Cage then?
Who's Nicolas Cage? Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to say that. I think that that's immediately where your brain went when you said it's the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, yes. That's a good question.
Who is, what did he have to do with the Declaration? I know it's
going
to
steal the Declaration of Independence.
He what?
He's going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Is someone going to steal it from us?
I don't know. He said Declaration of Independence.
Devil.
And that does
devil. Devil. Satan.
There's your title for this episode. Nicolas Cage is the devil.
That's how we're going to get our million views right there.
Okay, there you go. We've
gone off the deep end.
Good times.
No one can take away our freedom.
No.
Right. There Free in go. Christ.
And now Mark would have one from, which movie is it?
Indiana Jones.
No, Braveheart. No one can take away our freedom. Oh. Mark would be screaming that out.
Freedom!
Right, yeah. Something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
He's got the blue face on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was the goriest, awfulest movie. I watched it.
I've never seen it.
When was it? Oh, 97 Flood.
Oh, okay.
We moved away from LCMC first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look, a squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how this goes.
But anyway, we watched it on the bus back and forth from St. Paul to Wahpeton to do flood cleanup from the seminary.
Oh, really?
So we spent 2 or 3 days in Wahpeton doing flood cleanup.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And we watched Braveheart coming and going.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful.
Get you pumped up, I guess.
Get you ready to clean up from
it's like
the bloodiest thing I ever saw. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because Mel Gibson starred in it, but he also directed it, right? Mm-hmm. The bloodiest movie, the movie I can't watch again, is The Passion of the Christ.
He likes blood, okay? Yeah. It's just, you know, blood and gore.
Didn't he also direct Passion of the Christ?
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's pictures.
He's not in that one.
Okay. I thought I saw pictures of like somebody in a director's chair. Like headphones covered in blood.
Took that one from top to bottom.
I will tell you, I mean, one thing about what he did with Passion of the Christ, I've only watched it once, and I could probably remember the entire movie. Like, it was that graphic that I was just like, wow, this is like imprinted on my brain.
I didn't watch the graphic part. I couldn't. It was too long. I closed my eyes.
Yep.
It's more of a VeggieTale kids for church stories.
I remember after seeing it, I said, I will never take the words lightly any longer. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Right.
It changes everything.
Yeah.
Isn't it Ryan that watches it every year?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Andrea used to show it every year to the senior high on Holy Week on Good Friday.
I got into doing something that I really enjoyed with our confirmation class. Not here at Atonement, but prior, we had a play that we would do that was like a marching cadence. And it was the cross of Christ from a medical perspective. And we had all these things that we used, and the kids would walk in, and the kids were dressed all in black, so you couldn't really notice the kids. But we had a cross that was built there, and there was all these different things that you would place on the cross, and you would read the seven last words of Christ and blow out these candles. And at one point in this whole cadence, because it's very quiet and people are just watching this, we had like a whip that we made, and they begin whipping the pole that the cross is, and you hear this whip, and we do it 39 times because Christ was whipped 39 times, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do the nails, and you bang with the hammer, and it just echoed through the space, and that would stay with me every year, more so than having to watch the movie. So
yeah, early on when I was here, we did that every year. Where you'd hear
same play, right?
The pounding of the nails. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And once in a while, someone would scream.
Oh, really?
Maybe not Jesus, but, you know, there were other people there, too. Yeah.
The last thing I would do is...
We put people up on crosses a couple times. I hated that.
Oh, seriously?
We had him hanging in crosses with clothes that look ripped and bloody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say we ever went there. No. Just the symbolic of it all was enough for me.
It was a little more than I could handle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a little intense.
That's a
You
can probably still find those costumes downstairs among all the they've been thrown out now.
No, probably not.
No, probably not. They're probably down there.
I remember like church camp growing
up. It's coming up.
And they would do like Stations of the Cross on like one of the last nights. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a couple years, like when I was in more like late elementary, middle school, that's when you would like get to witness. And it was always the like goofball, funny, like guy's counselor who ended up being Jesus
yeah.
having to like drag the cross like full yeah. weight through all the stations. And it was just so.
Change your whole perspective oh, yeah. about that counselor too.
It's absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Mm. But yeah. This is very traumatic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the cross.
The only time I've ever walked all the stations of the cross was my first night in Chimbote, Peru.
Oh, wow.
I traveled like 30 hours to get there. And then, well, tonight we're walking the stations of the cross. So we walk through the muddy, dirty streets mm-hmm. of Chimbote, okay. going from place to place and singing. And that was one of the most moving things mm-hmm. I've ever done. Mm. Yeah.
The only other one that sticks in my head is, I think it was DJ's first year during Lent when he pointed out that we all killed Jesus.
Oh, good. It stayed with you. All right.
Always in my brain, like pointing out, you killed Jesus.
Yeah, he was just quoting Martin Luther.
Just stuck in there.
That's all I do.
I was like, that's all there. DJ does.
I should point that out.
It was a great message, but it's burned in there.
That's wonderful.
See, I mean, Sarah's like, this is very traumatic for me. It'll never leave my brain. DJ's like, that's fantastic. Yeah. I love that.
Yes.
I pair it with, it's a great message.
Scarred
but,
for life.
But that, like, that? Seriousness at the end of it.
Didn't he say something like that?
He would say that.
But he also, you know, did some kind of anti-Semitic things around that, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah. Not when he was preaching.
Not when he was preaching.
His preaching was about you. So, yeah.
Okay. It's coming up.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Lent's going to be here before we know
Lent's
it.
Lent's coming up.
Just like I love Lent.
Atonement loves Lent.
It's weird to say. No, I love, like, growing up, I used to love Lent. Like, the church I grew up at did, like, the exact same, like, all singing church service Wednesday nights. And I loved the music of it. I loved the messages. I just loved Lent.
I've never liked Lent or Easter. They've always been my least favorite holidays.
Really?
Do you like Christmas?
Mine was always Christmas. I always liked Christmas better. Yeah. Easter always felt like the, you know, grandma made me wear the little like pastel dresses and I hated the Easter bunny and I was just like, I hate this holiday.
See, you have me yelling at you. That scarred you. Bunny has scarred her.
Yep, yeah.
So there we go.
Trauma.
Trauma. Well,
I really need to get some sponsorships by therapists in
here.
Becky is right, though. Atonement loves Lent.
It's a big deal. You know, I've
and
never
it's fun.
Seen people show up in hordes to go to Lenten services mm-hmm. here.
Which was also a thing I didn't know until I started working here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, you do all of the Wednesdays from
We love soup and we love mm-hmm. Lent.
I was like, I'll be here. You're going to feed me?
I forgot about it. It's almost soup season.
Yeah.
My favorite part is making the sandwich.
Yes.
I just love that I show up and I eat really well at least once a week.
I used to love when I was on staff here and Amy was in charge of picking up bread for Lent meals.
Yeah, because she would buy extra bread.
Yes, and it would always be like, oh, it's 9 a.m. on a Wednesday, and Amy's coming in with, like, freshly made bread, and then there's also, like, a pizza roll and cinnamon rolls and muffins because...
She's like, oh, yeah, they had, like, this, like, cranberry.
Because delicious.
Why not?
And they send them along.
Exactly. It's delicious.
During Lent, I eat so well because we have... noon worship as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have meals then, and then we have meals in the evening.
I make sure I get here. I will always just come in later on those Wednesdays, and I will get here in time to have lunch, and then I will just not leave the building
This is a secret to the soup, and anybody listening, if you want to go to both services, because they're different services, get whatever the like more popular, yummy-looking soup, get that at lunch, because it will not be there at dinner.
No?
Yep.
So.
Yep.
There you
That's
go.
Very
you
true.
You guys just made me really happy. I got a big smile on my face now thinking
you
of soup.
You got like one month, DJ, and
I always,
soup season.
I always have people watching me make my sandwich because I never make sandwiches at home. But here we have the fresh bread.
Uh-huh. There's something about the bread we get.
Cheese and ham and turkey and salami.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have little packets of mustard and mayo. So I put the bread out and I... make the mustard and mayo even on both pieces. And then I lay a meat, and then I lay a meat, and then I lay my cheese. Then I put it together, and then I cut it in a diagonal. And I have this, it's just a ritual.
Yeah.
For Lent for me to make these sandwiches. Yeah. And so people will watch me going, what? They think I'm Yeah.
There's just something that, like, I can go out and buy the same bread. Yeah. It's not the same.
It's not going to taste the same.
No, it's not. I've done it.
There's no toast. There's no butter. It's just that crazy mayo and mustard in the combination.
Sometimes I do toast my bread, though.
Never.
Yeah. Here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
sometimes I'll go in the kitchen and be like, I'm going to toast my bread because I'm special. I work here.
VIP pass. Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, Lynn's going to be here soon.
How many weeks? 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
Four weeks. Well, 4 weeks. Well,
is it in February?
Ash Wednesday is March 5th.
Thank you.
So very, you know, by the time you hear this podcast.
Month. Yeah, one month. Literally, oh, yeah. It's the 6th.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind, we missed it.
Yeah, so a week from, or
less
month
than
from
a month.
And
10 yesterday.
Days after that, I'll be in Florida.
You're going to be in Florida during?
Boo.
Jealous.
That's late. Don't you usually go March. In February?
I did, but didn't work out that way this year.
That's how you know it's Lent. Pastor Becky goes to Florida.
But I will be here for Ash Wednesday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Well,
see, Lent's later this year, so I go to Florida later. It worked out just right.
Obviously, it's getting near supper time because all this great food is,
yeah,
is making
starving.
My stomach rumble. So let's call it there and just.
What are you going to have for dinner tonight?
I don't know, but I kind of want a sandwich and soup now at this point.
Are you going to go to the FMSC?
Might as well. FMSC? Might as well.
Yeah, Amy's got food.
So.
And knowing Amy, she made too much.
She did.
Thank you, Pastor Becky, for joining us on that podcast and for every conversation that we had. I think this has been a splendiferous episode of that podcast.
Yeah. DJ, do you want to pray us out of here? Or do you want me to?
I want to pray.
Okay.
Can I pray?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray.
As long as it's not me.
Dear God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the conversation that we had about all the things that you were doing in our midst. Thank you for FMSC. Thank you for Lent. Thank you that we get to be a part of this family of faith that Jesus gives, and pray, Lord, that you would bless those who seek after you, and if anyone's listening to this today, that they can have a relationship with Jesus too, and that you love them and care for them and will forgive them and make them new. So bless us as we go from this place. Keep everyone safe until we get a chance to meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or a wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.